Welcome back to the Infertility Feelings Podcast, your place to process, cry, and laugh about infertility. We are so happy to have you here, and we really hope you enjoy today's conversation. Doug, what's one thing that you're thinking about right now? What's going through the mind lately?
That's a dangerous question.
Yes. As soon as I asked it, I went, uh-oh, what am I doing? Reverse.
I have been thinking about a lot of things, actually. You know what I actually have been thinking about? Social media. I've been thinking a lot about social media. Yeah, and particularly, I mean, early vintage Facebook. No, just joking.
Your top eight.
Yeah, early MySpace is what I've been thinking
about. Yeah, MySpace. Oh my gosh, I even dated myself even more. MySpace.
Did your MySpace have like a custom code where like music played and stuff like that?
Oh, I loved my MySpace. I loved my top eight. I would change them around. My song meant so much to me.
Do you remember how you had to do code? You had to like code it in.
I would like go to different Facebooks. Or no, oh my gosh, I can't even go back that far. Different MySpaces if I liked their song.
So just
I would
sit on it
and just listen to their song. I remember this one guy had a Beatles song that I just loved, and I would just go and just listen to it.
Oh my gosh, I think I know who you're talking
about.
Yes. I know what MySpace page you're talking about.
Yes, because we followed the same person.
That is so funny.
It was the Beatles song, I've Just Seen a Face.
Yes.
I've just seen a face, I can't forget the time or place where we just
met. Do you remember how you could code it to where like the whole background would be like sparkly?
So you say code, no.
You had to do it though if you put a song on your MySpace. You would go into the settings and put in like an HTML code.
Yes, insert here. Like that's, I don't view
that's
that as
coding.
I don't view that as code.
You were coding your MySpace.
It was copy and paste. That's what I was doing. Copy, paste. Oh, wow. We just dated ourselves.
Anyways.
If you don't know what MySpace is, you are bored to tears.
Yeah. I have been thinking though about social media and how much it's changing. This isn't really what this podcast is about, but you know.
But here we go.
We might as well start here. Social media is changing so much. Don't you feel like it's changed over the last 5 years so much? I think the
last 5 years, 100% it's changing, and it's under fire right now.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this in 2025, who knows?
And you don't know what social media is. We used to have this thing called social media.
There used to be a thing called Instagram and TikTok.
I don't want to make any judgment statements about social media, but I do think it's becoming
social media is the way that we find people at Uniquely Knitted. So, I mean,
you may literally be listening to this on
because of social media. You found us on social media. So yeah, no negative.
No negative. I'm more so saying that I feel like I almost feel like social media is not the right word anymore. You know, it shouldn't be called social media. But to me, social media has this, you know, I read an interesting article about it, how the idea of communicating with friends, keeping up with friends, that like that type of interaction with a media channel like social media is almost a dying art form. You know, how many people are posting pictures to keep up with friends, and maybe people are, but really the majority of the consumption that happens on social media apps is more entertainment. It's turned into a democratized Netflix. You know, anyone could have their own Netflix show.
Right.
And I'm not saying that, like, of course there's people posting pictures of family reunions and the hiking trip that they went on.
Right.
But the article was saying the majority of what we're actually consuming though is almost like an entertainment, which is so different. You know, I don't think of, you know, Instagram or something like that, like entertainment, but it really more so is entertainment than it is anything else.
Yeah. If I think about it through my own personal Instagram, so not Uniquely Knitted's Instagram, but my own personal Instagram, I am there to lurk.
Oh, for sure.
I'm there to lurk. I'm there to look around.
I mean, is there a better word than lurk? You're watching.
No,
right?
Everyone knows what that means. Yes. I'm there for it to entertain me. I'm not there to, like, I barely post my own personal thing, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just interesting. That's interesting that is what you've been thinking about. I've been thinking about bunnies. How did the Easter bunny get attached to Easter? How did a bunny get attached to Easter? Because it's Easter weekend.
It's got to be right the now. Connection of spring, right? And bunnies and
that's
spring.
That's what I've been thinking about. Yeah. Bunnies. A lot of bunnies.
Do you know why there's Easter eggs?
No. Why is there Easter eggs? Please tell us.
Come on, you got this. You can do this.
Okay. Didn't think about it at all.
Why are there painted Easter eggs?
The Lord? I don't know.
in the
Jesus
in the Christian
the tomb the
no,
tomb
no no no
no, no. Okay, because yeah, an egg doesn't come out of a bunny.
No, it does not.
So how do bunnies and eggs get connected to things?
It is
connected to Easter.
It goes back. It is in the Christian tradition, but the Christian tradition of Lent in the Catholic tradition.
Oh, okay.
You abstain from certain things. So people end up using all their flour. You end up not using eggs, all those kind of things, because you're kind of fasting and preparing for, you know, Easter. So in Catholic traditions, there's a day where they use all their flour. They like make a bunch of pancakes and things like that. Mm. But then also, if you lived on a farm, you have all of these eggs, all of these chickens producing eggs, and you can't use them. So they would let the kids paint them and they would store them. And it would be like this fun tradition of having all of these Easter eggs that you can now use on Easter. Easter eggs.
Wow. Where did you learn that?
You know, I don't know.
And I think if anything...
Social media.
Yeah.
just joking.
If anything is associated with Lent, I would think it would be chocolate. Like it would just should just have chocolates around.
Well,
which
it's,
I guess,
it's a more modern... You know, this is actually an area that I don't know.
Because everyone gives up Lent. A lot of people, not everyone, gives up Lent. Chocolate for Lent or sweets.
Well, I think that's a more modern interpretation. If you're like a practicing person of Lent, you're yelling at us right now because right. You know and we don't know. But I think... It's a more modern practice that you would just give up something and abstain from something.
Right.
I think there's actually a richer tradition of things that they would abstain from during Lent.
And eggs would be one of them.
I believe things like flour and eggs and things like that would be some of them.
Okay. So they, then they would hold the eggs. They'd paint the eggs. Well, you and would, then they would yeah, eat it, them it, on
if you
Easter.
Had chickens, you would just be getting eggs like crazy. So right. They would let the kids paint them and things like, to get ready for Easter. And you would have Easter eggs. And then the bunny, I think, comes in from more different types of traditions of like spring and things like that. It's a mashup for sure.
It's a mashup. Well, this is the perfect transition into loneliness. So today we're talking about infertility and loneliness. You could insert the word isolation. That would be another word. And me and Doug are debating on what this should be called. He wants it to be called infertility and isolation, and I want it to be called infertility and loneliness. So surprise, you'll see who wins.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Who wins this debate?
I think you're going to win.
Yes, I think I am. What makes you think that, Doug? What makes you think so? Yeah. So why do you think I started the podcast with saying infertility and loneliness?
Yeah.
Because I'm getting the title. Infertility is a thing that happens to us that puts pressure on our coping mechanisms.
Yes.
And one of our coping mechanisms, maybe, was people. People is a way to cope. Oh, let's go out to dinner with so-and-so. Oh, let's go grab a glass of wine with what's-her-face. Let's go, you know, get coffee or whatever it is. It's like when you're feeling sad, for some people, that's what they do.
Yeah, there's, there's that like, oh, I need to just be with my people.
Yes, I need to be with my people. Or I need to see my mom, or I need to see my family, or I want to go do this or whatever. And infertility has a special way of making that particular coping mechanism, or if you don't even say coping mechanism, people in your life. That habit of seeing people, being around people, going to birthday parties, going to all these things, a triggering experience.
Right. Because they bring up infertility. They bring up kids or just...
I was going to say that I don't even know if they bring up infertility always, unless someone has been open with their story.
Yeah. They're just triggering.
It's just everywhere. Yeah. It's everywhere. It is... You try to go and talk to someone and they say the wrong thing or brush it off or give you some advice on some aunt's tea that they did for 4 years and then they stood on their head and then they made it happen and then whatever advice, or they dismiss you, you know, like we've been trying for a while. It's like, oh, just keep going. You're like dismissive, you know, or these people have children. These people only talk about their children. You know, it could be many things. It could be many things that, and the conversation is no longer life-giving. It's life-sucking.
Right. Can you almost say on the flip side too, that some people, when encountering struggles with fertility, infertility, they actually cope by pulling away? and they don't want to talk to anyone. So it's, you're almost kind of like a little damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of a thing.
Totally.
Like, loneliness is such a, I don't want to say an unavoidable, but it feels like a big one.
Right. Well, I think people are constantly battling. In my group, I feel lonely.
Yeah.
But the other option is to isolate myself when in turn I feel lonely.
Right.
So it's almost like, I feel like I see people battle in our groups all the time. I was like, which is worse? What is worse? You know, because the middle ground seems impossible because that's really hard to do. And what would the middle ground even be? But both can lead to isolation. Being with people can feel so lonely and can feel so exhausting and can hurt and be painful and just, you're already exhausted. So now you're going into these situations, you know, and just your little heart is being trampled upon.
Yeah. I like that picture of which one is worse. Say more about that. What do you mean? Like, is it worse to stay plugged into the friend, you know, stay plugged in with your people and your family, even though it's triggering? Or is it worse to kind of isolate, pull back, and now kind of not see anyone? Because we did this. I'm just wondering, do you feel like that's what people are doing, is almost weighing the which one is worse? Like, should I stay connected even though they're so triggering, or should I pull away even though it's so isolating?
Right. I think you think that being alone is better.
Yeah.
I think you think it.
You think people are making that, that choice more?
Yes. I think that, they are. It's not think they are, you know, like, and that's, this is no judgment. This is no, like, we've did the same thing. Like, you know, it's just, I think what comes to my mind is being, when it comes to infertility and loneliness or isolation or whatever you want to say, when you're in a group of people and maybe they know what's going on with you, maybe they don't, you have a sense of being overexposed.
Yeah. And that's lonely.
That is so lonely. That is so lonely to be like, it's so weird to be in a room with people and feel lonely.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's a lot of things on this earth that are like that. There are, but infertility has a very unique way of making you feel like that, especially if everybody around you has kids. Like, that is just, because that's all people do is sit around and talk about their kids.
Right.
So,
can we stop there just for a second?
Yeah.
Because I think there, for me, that's the point I wanted to make in this podcast, that I, the small point that I wanted to add.
Doug!
Is,
you can make all the points.
No, is that,
except for the title. I have that.
Is that loneliness is deeply attached to the attachments we have with people. It's not necessarily about being around people. It's about being attached to people, you know? And I think because that's what's so weird about infertility is you can be going through it and you're like, I don't know, I'm seeing the same people. I'm going to work. I'm doing my same things. Why do I feel so lonely? I think because loneliness is deeply attached to our attachments, you know? When we feel detached from people, like they don't see us, like we don't feel seen, like we have this whole weight on our shoulders that nobody knows about. I think that's what makes us feel lonely, or contributes to us feeling lonely. It's not necessarily, oh, I now live in the woods or something like that. If you live in the woods or you live away from everyone, the reason you feel lonely is not necessarily that you're physically alone, but that you are not attached to people.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? So I think that's, to me, that one of the distinctions I wanted to make, if we're talking about what does loneliness feel like, it feels like being detached. No matter if you're in the room with people or not, you're detached from them, and infertility is causing that detachment.
And to add to your point, I think when we feel not connected to our people in those, in our communities, and we are just getting comment after comment after comment, I can see how in our minds it feels better to lock ourselves up, be isolated, and be actually physically lonely, because it's like, well, at least I won't get those comments because I'm lonely both places.
Yeah.
So if I'm lonely here and I'm lonely there, I'm lonely overexposed and I'm lonely locked up. I think our minds trick us, and I'm not necessarily saying it's right or wrong. I think our minds trick us though to think, okay, let's stay alone. Let's be alone, physically alone. Let's not go to all these places because at least I won't hear those comments. And then maybe in a way that will be less painful.
Yeah. And I don't think,
and I'm saying that with all grace.
Yeah. I don't think, like, it'd be helpful for us to gauge which one's better. You know, you should be
right.
Just force yourself to be around people, even though it's really triggering and really difficult.
I'm just trying to paint the picture of what happens, I think, a lot in infertility is we try to go to these people, we try to stay connected, but we get hurt and we get hurt and we get hurt and we feel overexposed, if people know our stories especially, and then they just keep missing us and missing us and missing us, that's really difficult. So I think that's why we run towards, that's it. The hell with it. I'm just going to be alone and I'm not going to be around anyone. And I'm just going to lock myself up, which I understand.
You know what, Jesse? I think that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
I think it is overexposing feels horrible. It doesn't feel safe.
Yeah.
And it can feel very lonely. So, if I'm already feeling lonely, it kind of drives that feeling of, well, let's just pull away. Because loneliness almost begets loneliness, you know?
Right.
You feel lonely and then you get more lonely and then you isolate, then you get more isolated. It kind of spirals, not the right word. It's just, it builds on
stacks,
itself. It
maybe.
Stacks. Yeah. It compounds maybe.
And I think that some people, not everybody, because I know a lot of people that have just stayed isolated by themselves, but I think some people, which is exactly what I did, we bounced to the two. I was overexposed in some of the season and then I was locked up in the other part of the season.
Yeah.
For me, I was so overexposed. I'm thinking about like my hair career. I was a hairdresser 15 years and my clients who I loved, I realized, oh no, I'm going into work and just being asked and being asked and being asked and being asked and being asked, which they all loved me and cared and they did nothing wrong. But I was like, oh no, I've been overexposed. So then I ran towards lock it up, lock it up, lock it up. And then I got so sick of being locked up, I ran back to the overexposed.
Right. It was the only option.
It was the only other option, which I think that there's more than those two options, which we can talk about later and talk about at ad nauseum in our groups, our process groups. But I think that's it. And I think it'd be just interesting to identify, maybe even right now as a listener, just to identify, where do you feel like you're at? Do you feel like you are in the overexposed where everybody knows everybody and you're going to every single baby shower and you're planning all the baby showers and people just walk all over you and just keep saying like stupid comments, or are you just completely isolated by yourself?
That's a really good self-identification tool, I would say.
No judgment.
Do you feel, when it comes to the topic of infertility, do you feel overly exposed or do you feel overly locked up?
You know?
Do you feel kind of like you're in a cage or you overly exposed, you know, out in the open?
Yeah. And there's no judgment. There's no judgment. There's all the grace. But I think that the majority of the people that we especially talk in our process groups, what would you say? Maybe number one thing we talk about?
Yeah. It's a huge, huge issue.
Yes. Is loneliness in their marriages, loneliness in their community, loneliness just in the world, just feeling so like, oh, this is just me. I'm the only person not pregnant. I'm the only person going through this. And I think that's just interesting. I think that's interesting that this is something that we talk about all the time.
And I want to continue to make my same point is loneliness has to do with attachment. You know?
Yes.
Maybe another word would be connection.
Yeah.
Like real, true, genuine connection where you feel seen and you see someone and you feel like they have you, you know? I think that's the important part of loneliness. Combating loneliness is being seen by someone, because, you know, you can be at the gathering, family gathering, or you could be alone in your room. And maybe there's differences between those two.
Right.
And maybe I would even argue maybe like being physically around people, there are some additional health benefits that you get by, you know, having interaction, all of those things you get from other people. But you can still feel that sense of loneliness, because if you are going through infertility, there is such a huge part of you that is being taken up, focused on these issues. And if they're not being seen by anyone, shared by anyone, there is such a high likelihood that you feel lonely in that. And that only compounds when you're not even around people, you know?
Right.
So I think it's, to me, if you're going to think about, well, what am I supposed to do about all these feelings of loneliness? Yes, there is this sense of you have to move, you know, you could move and get out there and go to a coffee with someone. But again, if there's not that level of attachment, you may just end up staying lonely.
And I just want to say, maybe this is like not the right place to say this, but I just thought about it. I just want the listener to hear us say that you are not alone. You are not the only person on this earth that is experiencing this.
Right.
There are people out there that are struggling just like you are. and this is not your fault. Infertility puts a ton of stress on our relationships. And it makes sense. It makes sense. If you are feeling lonely, that would make sense.
Yeah.
That would really make sense. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not a failure. You're not doing this wrong. You're okay. And you are not alone. And we have all the grace for you.
I'm going to say something that I hopefully doesn't make you mad.
As long as I have the title, I'm good. Just kidding. Is it about bunnies?
No.
Okay.
I don't know how much what you just said will do anything to combat loneliness.
Thank you. Why am I even here? What is this podcast for?
That sounds so mean. That sounds so mean. But let me explain myself.
Yeah, please.
I don't know. And
all these people just cried about what I said. And they're like, all the tears just got sucked up back into their
you
eyes.
Ass.
Yeah.
And I do think at some level, yes, we need to be seen. And we do see you. But I think, and I'm trying to, maybe I'm being too nerdy right now. I think this is a podcast and we are broadcasting our voice out to you. We are real people and we do intellectually, yes, see you. And on principle, you are not alone. I think we have to go just one step further and get a little bit more of an interaction than just like the knowledge that we're not alone, you know, because if it's me and I'm like feeling lonely, it's like, right, I'm not alone. There are other people out there. It almost doesn't. Yes, it helps for sure. And know that intellectually you are not alone. But I think I needed to look into someone's eyes.
Right.
I'm not even saying in person. I'm even online, whatever. Just like I needed to have an interaction, like a conversation with someone that knew what I was going through and truly had experienced maybe the same thing and said, oh, this. It wasn't just like Doug and Jesse from Uniquely Knitted. It was like, oh, Kyle, this person that I now know has gone through this and has experienced it. I think that type of interaction helps us not only intellectually know that we're not alone, it helps us feel deep down on an emotional level that we're not alone.
I think someone saying and having a voice to the people that maybe are listening right now and it's just really feel isolated and alone, I think knowing that you're not alone, yes, I agree with you. Maybe it's not going to cure your loneliness, but it might give you motivation to do it. That's what I feel like is like what you're trying to say is like just knowing that maybe Doug and Jesse Brown are somewhere in the world that are experiencing or have experienced very similar things to me. Maybe that can motivate you to go and try to solve the loneliness thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That totally makes. And that's
because I don't want to say that that doesn't matter. It does matter. And I think because Doug, you don't read the Instagram DMs like.
And I'm being like, you know, I'm being difficult. But I think that it's because I want to though push the idea that
I know what you're saying.
You know, you go through something like infertility, and it's so lonely. It's so overwhelming. It's so, you know, the thing that I think the most, so life-changing. It just changes your life fundamentally. And you're sitting there, maybe you've tried to share it with people, that got overwhelming. Now you're kind of locked up. You're not talking about it at all. Maybe you and your partner just talk about it. It's so lonely. It's so overwhelming. And then you find something on social media. You hear that, oh, I'm not the only one. That there is a moment of like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm not the only
relief.
One. I have this realization and it's so relieving. But what I'm trying to push and just say is, if that is relieving, if that is good, how much better it is to meet someone who's actually gone through it too or going through it and to exchange, does this suck for you? It sucks for me.
Right.
Does this make you want to cry? It makes me want to cry.
Yeah.
And to have that interaction is equally life-changing, you know? As much as infertility is life-changing, the connection is life-changing too. And having experienced that in process groups with people, I just deeply want that for everyone who's going through infertility.
That is a better way to say that.
Thank you.
I'll scale a little bit like
to
wait,
change
what?
The record. Well, I think I was just trying to be difficult to push that point.
Right.
You know,
it's like if that is meaningful to you, if just seeing me on a reel is meaningful to you, makes you cry. I'm not saying that it should. I just read the comments. And if that is meaningful for you, can you only imagine what it would be to meet someone?
Yeah.
And have and be seen by someone in real life or on the internet or whatever.
Yeah, just
maybe not on the internet.
An actual, even if it was like on text, like
right.
Just some type of back and forth, like an actual conversation,
yeah.
Whether it's written or in video or in person. Right. Yeah.
I think what's interesting too in our world right now is there's a loneliness epidemic.
Yeah.
So we are already struggling as a culture, world, whatever you want
to
say.
To attach,
another, yeah. To connect to one another because our phone gives us everything. It gives us all the connection, all the entertainment, all the whatever. But as a world, we are having a loneliness. What would you say?
Epidemic. I think that's good. Yeah.
Epidemic. That, and now we have infertility on top of it, and it makes it even more difficult. So even just hearing that sentence, I hope you give yourself a lot of grace.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
To be like, we're already a lonely culture or lonely whatever, loneliness epidemic, and then we have something that literally is lonely on top of it.
Yeah.
So buckets of grace to you, my friend.
I could nerd out on that topic.
Why don't you nerd out it for just a minute? I'll allow it since this is my podcast. I will allow it.
No, there's not much to nerd out on. It is just true that there is what some people have called a loneliness epidemic. And I do think it stems from how individualistic we are as a society.
Right.
And I do want to say this. I don't think that the loneliness epidemic and infertility loneliness are somehow attached, if that makes sense. I think the things that make us lonely as a culture are almost like a separate topic.
Right.
I think the way that they do play a part is that we're not set up for success in the loneliness category to begin with. Does that make sense?
Yeah, right.
So I'm not saying, I think it's not that like, oh, you're prone to be lonely and then infertility comes along. It's more like when you're going through something like infertility, you now have to not only overcome the loneliness of infertility and all those struggles, you then have to then just do that in a society that's not necessarily prone for connection.
I agree. And I just wanted to comment one thing about how I said that our loneliness epidemic is caused by our phones. I am not a phone and loneliness expert researcher, you know?
I mean, I don't know. That'd be kind of interesting if you were though.
But because literally the reason that people are probably listening to this podcast is on their phone.
They're listening to it on their phone.
I think the phone does a lot. I just know for me, I can really dive deep into my phone. And I just wonder if that could play a little bit of part into
absolutely
loneliness.
Again, though, I go back to loneliness has to do with attachment. You know, we are connected in some ways like never before.
Right.
Your phone, I could pick up and text friends all across the United States, and I could listen to a podcast from someone in Australia, and I could then, you know, watch a course from someone in the UK. You know, I just like, you're connected and you can, the technology can do amazing things. Does that mean you're attached? Nah, I don't know.
Right.
That's a different kind of a different topic. And is it possible that those connections and that availability of information almost sneaks in as a substitute for attachment, you know?
Right.
You don't have to.
Right. That's basically what I'm saying.
Yeah. You don't have to go and talk in person to a friend. You can watch what other people are doing. You know, you don't have to have a conversation. If you're wondering something, you don't have to go and ask someone. You can ask, you know, Google or an AI or something.
I remember
someone
said that on our podcast one time, not on our podcast, in our process groups one time. He said, we don't just like sit on the porch anymore.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what that means because I'm California born and raised. We don't have porches, but just kidding. But it was like, we don't have like porch talk, like where you like go and you sit and you talk and you say, hey, I've been struggling with this or whatever, or even just not even anything deep, just like porch talk. And I was like, we need more porch talk.
Yeah. There's less of that. Yeah.
There's less of that.
There's none, but I think there's much less.
I don't think it never exists anywhere. I'm just saying
porch
talk. Like I remember sitting with my grandma, having spaghetti, just doing some porch talk.
You were having spaghetti with your grandma on the porch?
No. California, again, she did not have a porch. We ate at her dining room table.
So that's a better place for spaghetti.
Yes.
When I think porch, I don't think spaghetti.
I wasn't actually thinking porch. I was thinking her dining room table, her round dining room table with all her dishes surrounded by her and her big wooden clock. That was a type of porch talk where we would just sit. And did we have the most in-depth, deep conversations? Some, not really, but sometimes. I just think that was a form of like...
A moment of connection.
That is a moment that I can think back in my childhood of like attaching or connected. Even it wasn't even anything that deep.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a porch talk. It was, oh my gosh, can we TM porch talk?
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say it like that. So maybe you just TM'd it.
Is this podcast Porch Talk? Should we change the name? Screw Infertility Feelings. Now we are the Porch Talk Podcast.
That whole thing. Screw Infertility Feelings. We are now the Porch Talk Podcast.
That's a genius idea. There's gold there. Gold.
I think the point that we're making is kind of an aside to loneliness, but I think it wraps the conversation of loneliness, which I think is so important.
Yeah.
And that is that loneliness is not necessarily about physically being around someone or even talking to someone. It's about connecting and attaching to someone. When we live in a society that is very connected, very plugged into one another, but not necessarily attached to one another, or maybe I'll use these words. We are very networked. We're very networked together.
Huh.
We are all networked in our jobs, and we're networked with people around the globe, and we're networked to different entertainment industries and things like that. But are we connected? We'll use networked and connected, you know?
Yeah.
We're networked, but are we at a very emotional level connected to one another? I think the loneliness comes from not being connected enough.
Right.
Infertility hinders our ability to connect.
Right.
And that's what's causing
like it's already hard enough. And then you try to connect with your friend that has three kids when you're struggling with infertility. And it's like, oh, well, no, that's just not going to happen.
Exactly.
Or it could not happen. I'm not saying it's impossible, but.
But it's harder. It's way harder.
It's harder.
And that's where I think if we're advocating for anything when it comes to infertility and loneliness is to find good connections. The connections that give you life, where people see you, where you can be honest about your infertility. I think those are the moments where you feel connected and you start to address the loneliness.
I see you're networked and I raise you with, I think we have a vulnerability problem.
Okay, yeah.
In our culture. So yeah, you can use the word networked or whatever, but I think it's a vulnerability issue.
Well, that okay, can I add to that and say that...
Wasn't done, but yes.
I'm going to raise you.
I raise
see
me.
That. I'm going to raise the pot
yeah.
to that... You can be networked, but not very vulnerable. Like I don't when I think networked, I don't think, oh, these people are very vulnerable together.
I don't think that at all.
Yeah. So, but to be connected, I think is to be more vulnerable.
Yes. But I think that is also what we have as an issue as a community or a world or whatever is we do have a very vulnerability problem.
Yeah.
I think
course.
We would say, because it's very difficult to be vulnerable, and in infertility, it's very, very, very difficult to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, but, and I think sometimes we confuse Jesse Brown. I should have this on a t-shirt because this is what I do. I think we confuse transparency with vulnerability is like a word vomit. Like, oh, I just word vomited all this, but I didn't necessarily feel better afterwards. I've done that where it's like, I've given him all the details and all the things and then I walk away and I'm like, I don't know if I felt better after that. And I think that's something that we also could think about or look at is, are we transparent or are we vulnerable?
Yeah. I think there's a whole other podcast we could do about infertility and connecting, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that almost feels like a separate topic.
Right.
I think I almost want to limit this conversation to just when it comes to loneliness, connection is the way out of loneliness.
Yeah.
Which requires vulnerability. And
right.
Because it's so complicated. It's right. more than just being vulnerable. There's a lot to it. You know?
And I think with infertility, the vulnerability is so tender.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think with infertility, it is the most tender, sweet, exposing, raw,
risky
thing to share.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so hard. And you're literally holding your breath for what they're going to say back to you. Please be gentle. Please be gentle. Please be gentle. And it's so hard because most of the time, that's not what you get back. So what the heck do we do about this?
No, that's a great question.
If you listen to this podcast and just realize, oh my gosh, I am lonely, that is growth. If you listen to this podcast and you just can identify, I am totally overexposed, or you can identify, I am locked up, that's growth. So I just want to take a minute just to validate all the feelings and just to be like, that is okay. That is okay if that's what you take away from this podcast. Doug and I don't ever want to be like, and then you have to do this, and then you have to do this. It's like, this is all just from here on forward, just encouragement. It's just encouragement of what you could do if you want to.
That's right.
If you
don't have to do anything.
You don't have to do anything. And if you just have the aha moment that I am lonely, that is growth, or where you are at in your journey right now, that is growth. And we see you and we give you the biggest massive virtual hug. My encouragement would actually be super simple. Normally on this podcast, we say feel. And I do think there is feelings with loneliness. I totally get that. That needs to be like, I'm lonely and cry about it and all those things. But I'm going to say something a little bit different. Is my encouragement would be movement. You can still feel. I validate all the feels. And especially if you're like, just want to say one little caveat, little star, is if you're lonely in your marriage, if you guys are just not on the same page, like that's particularly really painful. And I see you, and you're not the only one in the world that's had this happen to you. It's just really difficult. But would be action to maybe one of our process groups where it literally is full of people that absolutely get it and have been there. And I'll never forget one time I started a process group and one of the girls just started crying and I had to pause and I said, are you okay? And she said, I've never seen a face of anyone else
who's gone through this.
Yeah. And that was enough for her. Like that was enough for her to just be even just emotional. So it would just be action. Maybe with your partner, if you are lonely, talking to them, trying to express maybe that you are lonely. Maybe it's that movement towards therapy. It's the movement towards that friend group, maybe trying to be a little bit more vulnerable, trying to be a little bit more honest on what things hurt you, what they say. It's just, it's action. That would be the thing
I think
would not cure, because it's going to be messy.
Address
maybe the loneliness. And going in with some boundaries, like, because I think people would think, well, isn't that going to leave me overexposed? And this is what we talk about in our groups constantly. And we literally try to give you a game plan of how you can do this. But so it's a little hard to do that on the podcast, but we do a deeper dive in our process groups, I would say, would just be to go to your people, mother, maybe sister, best friend, and just kind of start to be honest.
And have boundaries.
But also have boundaries.
Yeah, like, that's what we're talking about.
This is not helpful. When you say this, this is hurtful when you say this, you know, and you would hope that they would also be people that are growing, people that care and are trying to be better human to you, that they would be able to do that. Does that always happen? Nope. But
I think the way to have connection in your life and start moving and get connected and address the loneliness is to connect to people with boundaries.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like have boundaries when you go and connect. And I think the boundaries are such an important part of connecting that is often forgot about. And we do talk about that in our groups.
Right. Right.
We show you exactly how to do that.
If you are like, how the heck do I do that? Uniquelyknitted.org/process groups. Yeah.
And the reason we don't just like say it on the podcast is it's actually, boundaries are very difficult to explain.
Yes.
And it's best to talk them through in a group setting.
Right.
So if you're like, oh, I want to talk them through and join a group, join a group.
But all that to say, process groups, I feel like we've said process groups already too many times in this podcast. One other thing I was going to say, and then you can have a go at this, is watch out for people that might surprise you.
True.
That friend that you've had since fifth grade, that you've been walking through all their crap in their life, and this is now maybe the first time that you're like, uh-oh, I'm struggling, and they're just missing you, and they don't get it. there's grief there to be like, oh shoot, I thought you were going to be a person that was going to be there for me. I almost feel like I deserve for you to be there for me because I've been there for you. And I think sometimes that can surprise people. And there's grief there. There's grief in being like, oh man, I didn't think so. But then all of a sudden, this other person that you didn't expect was really great for you and really...
Yeah, maybe someone you literally just met, like, right. Like even like a coworker,
right.
You open up to a little bit and they're great. They yes. Maybe they've gone through something and they right. See you. It's
like
is true.
Pour into them. But I think sometimes we think, like, I would think of like a mom. Like,
yeah.
A mom is going to get me 100% of the time, going to be perfect for me 100% of the time. Like, yeah. They're going to get it. And it's like, and maybe they don't. And that would be the kind of thing where maybe you can think, do I want to tell them my boundaries and try to be more honest and do that? Or is this like, oh shoot, we're not going to do that. And we're not going to be that. And you don't have capacity for me yeah. and my hardship. Yeah. And then maybe it would be somewhere else. I just had somebody in our group say that her friends that she's had since she was like in high school have kind of dropped the ball, but she's made this like different friend group and they kind of have kids and they don't kind of have kids. They have kids and they've been really great and supportive. And she was like, I would have never,
right.
Never, ever, ever thought that. Now, do I think that's always across the board? Absolutely not. But in that scenario, in her case, it's totally surprising her. And she did not see that coming.
Yeah.
So I think I would just look out for maybe people that would surprise you, that maybe you haven't been a ride or die your entire life. Like just somebody, I don't know, just keep your eyes out.
Yeah, absolutely. I have nothing else to add. There's nothing else to add.
Oh, I'm dying.
I think you're absolutely right. I think boundaries is a huge one that it's like, if you go like, okay, I'm going to go connect right now. I think you do need boundaries.
And I think I hate to keep plugging our stuff, but if boundaries also, when we mean boundaries, we don't mean X everyone out of your life.
Right.
Like, which I always thought what's boundaries was and are, but it's keeping yourself safe in that relationship. Like right. Boundaries are really there for connection.
Yeah.
Which is very bizarre.
It's kind of counterintuitive to think. Yeah. Boundaries don't keep you separated from people. They keep you connected to
people.
Just
think about that for a second. You know, which is what we explain in the groups, but.
Boundaries don't keep you separated from people. They keep you connected to people in a way that helps you get what you need from them.
So you can feel safe.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a big topic. So I don't want to say, yeah, go out and start connecting without boundaries. You do need boundaries.
Right.
But I just agree with you. I think it is kind of a physical activity of, you know, when we talked earlier about loneliness being attached to connection and how that type of attachment we have with people, I think the attachment and that connection, it does start with a coffee and a hangout, you know, and a little tiny bit of vulnerability. Just even like a how have I been doing lately? I've been stressed lately. And then, you know, you don't even have to even open up totally, but there is a very physical part of staying connected and getting out of loneliness or just addressing loneliness. You know,
yeah.
There's not some realization that you may have alone in your room that you go, now I'm not lonely anymore. Right. You know, and there is this, like, I've been having good rhythms of hanging out, connecting. You know?
Would you say that loneliness is only solved by people?
Probably. I would say, yeah.
I mean, I wasn't necessarily saying that as fact. I was more of just a question of like, is it, I mean, maybe your dog or your cat, like, of course yeah. There's, I love my bunny. This is why I keep thinking about bunnies at Easter is because we actually have a bunny named Cheese and I'm obsessed with him. So, and I love my bunny and he does a lot for my soul, but.
Yeah, I think like loneliness yeah. to me, by definition, is the lack of attachment to people.
Yeah.
And the lack of attachment to the attachment to people is what is such a necessary part of being alive.
Yeah.
Not a ton of people.
Right.
But people, being attached to people.
Right.
So when you're not connected, you're not attached, you have that sense of loneliness. So yes, because by definition, to address the loneliness would be to address our connection to people. And there is definitely a physicality to it, an actual being together, a calling, a texting.
Right.
So I think not even to maybe not overthink it. Maybe it would be the only thing I would add.
I think though why it is so difficult is because it's vulnerable.
Yeah. And you're going through infertility.
And when you're struggling with infertility, you're already exhausted. You're already managing your life. Your soul is being sucked. Your spirituality is like, what the heck is this? Yeah. Your prayer life is like, what the heck is this? It's like so many, your money is like, what the heck is this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe it's not speaking at all because it's not there anymore from my experience. But you know, so it's so hard to be like, oh no. Like I can hear the people listening to this, like, oh no, the only thing that I can do to help my loneliness is more action or more energy. And I more totally people. Get yeah. that. I totally get that. And I totally see, and I get why vulnerability is so hard because you think that you can be vulnerable and you think that you can share and people just don't get it. But I promise that there is someone, there's got to be yeah. someone out there, someone safe. I would think about it this way too. Someone who has capacity for you.
Yeah.
I don't think everyone has capacity for people in certain times in their lives. Like some people, you're ride or die. Maybe she doesn't have the capacity, which sucks. But it's like, who has capacity for you and who is safe?
And you may be listening to this podcast and you may think, I totally have someone like that. I just right. need to call them. Right. This is an encouragement to right. say, I think it will be a good thing
very
to
talk to them.
A very gentle encouragement to say, it could be amazing to be yeah. seen.
And you know? Last shameless plug, if you are listening to this podcast and you cannot think of one person, hope maybe you would have some, or you keep trying and it's not working and keep trying and it's not working. We do. We have the process groups. Yeah. Literally right now, there's groups open for you to sign up and join. Last shameless plug. Let's get back to bunnies. Thank you for listening to the Infertility Feelings Podcast, a show produced by the nonprofit Uniquely Knitted. This is your place to process, cry, and laugh about infertility. We are so grateful for all of our amazing donors that we have who support our work. If you would like to learn more about how we serve the community and support the work of Uniquely Knitted, we encourage you to check out our website at uniquelyknitted.org.